Well, praise the Lord again. I thank the Lord for you, and I thank the Lord for another Sunday. Another day on this side of the grass, as we say. Thank God for it. The only reason we're here is because there's some purpose in His mind for us. And we don't always know, but we just keep running. We are in the book of James. And I tell you, it's been quite a journey. Oh man, we made it through James 1, where it talked about the prayer of faith, and it talks about endurance and patience, and the need for patience, and what it is that patience brings, which is endurance. Patience is endurance, and it builds that in us. It tells us how to walk in this life, that we should not only just hear the word, but we should also do the word. Now, granted, some of us do the word a little differently than others, but we should be moving towards doing the word. Amen. That's what the Bible says, not just sitting there saying, well, hope one day I might do it, and maybe something might happen and change my mind. And one man told me, he said, well, I'll convert when God gives me the same experience he gave Paul on the road to Damascus, when he knocked him blind. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I hope God gives it to him, you know. Yeah, number two, taught us respect for others, how to deal with each other and deal with other people. And it spoke to us in chapter two about faith. And faith, there's so many definitions and so many different twists that folks put on faith. And a lot of it is not really faith. It's something else, but it's not faith. It's not that it's not anything, but it's just not faith, you see. But it says, look, faith, real faith, without works, is dead, being alone. Anybody can talk, can flap your gums, and your talk is cheap. But now, I want to see your talk. Someone's father told him, said, to let your shoe tongue do the talking for you. In the walking. I said, well, now that's pretty good. And of course, we got in chapter three, which was a very challenging subject, talking about the tongue. Oh, talking about the tongue. Oh man, that little member. And we got examples of the helm of the ship, big giant ship, driven by forceful winds, but turned by a little helm. And then there's a little thing underneath that no one sees. That's that little rudder thing there. And that helm turns that tiny little rudder, and it goes like this, and the great big old ship makes a great big turn, and he turns it back, and the ship makes a big turn, and a younger kid would say, wow, that's magical how you do that. But if you could see under the ship, you know that he's got something under there going. It's like the tongue. It's that little member. It's the little members. But boy, the Bible says that it's set on fire of hell. Man, you... A tiny little flame can burn down an entire city. Just a little strike. They got forest fires today with someone playing with matches or someone not putting their fire out right. And now millions and billions of dollars are destroyed because of carelessness with a flame. So you must understand what you have in your mouth. And you're right. The scripture's right. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And tongues have that man that had those children killed in Jesus' day looking for Jesus said, go forth and kill every child under the age of two. He said it, and then it was done. That was death in the power of his tongue. And then life is also in the power of the tongue. And God's word is life. And the Bible spoke about wisdom. Now we're going to move on into James chapter 4. And before we go, we're just going to go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing and help with this. Father, we ask you for help to make it through James chapter 4 successfully. And help me, Lord, to hear what you're saying and to be diligent to repeat it as accurately as I know how, to not get in your way. I spent time studying this, but that was me. But, Lord, we need now to hear from you. I need you to anoint your word. I need you, Lord, to quicken those truths that you want, and quicken it in the people that hear them. Touch their lives as well as mine. Touch our lives and help us, Lord. Bless this word and bless all that are here. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to just start out and let you know that if you feel that you might be getting beat up by this message, just know I got beat up first. Bad. I got beat bad with James chapter 4. So don't look up here and say, oh, he's so mean. Man, my head was so low trying to understand this thing and trying to get through it. And oh, man. I said, I got to make that announcement when I hear, just to let them know. I don't know if it's going to be that bad, but he deals with everyone. Now, we're going to go to James chapter 4 and start in verse 1. And he starts out and he's asking about wars. Where do wars come from among you? From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Wow. Well, thank you for the introduction, James. He says they come from inside of you. They come from your members. They come from something that you want. When it says lust, it has to do with things you want, your desires, things that drive you. And it's amazing. We could do some things to get some stuff that we want. Well, let me say that differently. We can do some things to get stuff that we think we want. And of course, a lot of times we get it and we're trying to figure out how to get rid of it. I finally got it. Now, how do I get rid of it? And a lot of times it comes out of that envy and seeing what someone else has and wanting what they have. And you got a handful, but it's still not enough for you. You want what they got too. Wars and envies. And it comes from within us. It comes from within our being. It comes from within our members. A lot of marriages have problems because of that, because folks don't want to grow up. Folks don't want to bend this. You know, you got to compromise in marriage. You got to bend this way, and then, you know, when you got to bend this way, and you got to keep this. Sometimes you got to bend back, and sometimes you got to duck, and all of that, to survive. It takes you know, that type of thing. But you got to be willing to give up your rights for the rights. For the better good. And so that'll take care of the wars and the fightings and things that we have. You know, I heard someone say, you ain't never been to a good fight till you've been to a church fight. That's a vicious fight. You ever been? I've been to a church fight. And I'm like, I won't come to this meeting anymore. I was scared to death in there. I mean, they were vicious. And that's the church. I ain't talking about it out here. I'm talking about the church. There's a problem there if we're fighting one another. Now, we should be on the same page. We have the same Holy Ghost, the same Jesus, the same God, and we're falling out. Now, something's wrong now. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be falling out. See? Amen. Okay. We beat that horse long enough. Verse 2, it says, you lust. Wow, he's kind of rough here. He say, you lust and you have not. You kill. And you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. It's amazing. You have a desire. You lust for it. But you can't seem to get it. You push for it, but you don't obtain it. He says, you go after it, and you go after it, and you fight, and you war, and you tussle for it, and you don't have it. And he says that you don't have because you don't ask. And what that tells me is you're going about it the wrong way. That's the thing. You're going about it the wrong way. You're going to take your intellect and your smarts, and you're going to get what you think you want. And you're going about it the wrong way. And then you say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to ask God for it. Well, you say, you ask and receive not. You ask and you receive not. See, it says that you have not because you ask not. And it says in verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, you're going at this whole thing the wrong way. You're going at it in a very prideful way, in a very pushy way. I'm going to have what I want. I'm going to have it. It's going to be mine. And someone say, well, you know, you need to ask God for it. But you still got that pride. And then you go, God, I want to have this. And he said, you ask and receive not, because you go to him with the wrong attitude. You go to him demanding. You don't demand God. You crawl over there in a figure. You humble yourself and go to him. But we'll get to that. But so you ask and you have not, because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong reason. Rather than asking, Lord, that this might glorify you, we ask it, Lord, that so I can have what I want. I want this shiny car over here. And you said that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I'm going to say that that car is going to be mine. And you can confess and confess, and you don't get the car. You say, well, they said ask. Well, you got the wrong attitude about it. Now, I want to plug you into something about this, plugging into this asking and having. You can still have the car, and you can still get the car, but that doesn't always mean God is behind it. That doesn't always mean God gave it to you. If he didn't give it to you from your asking, you might need to sit back for a while and say, okay, let me just hold up here. But see, that takes a certain kind of an attitude to even back off. If you're already full of pride, you're not going to back off. You're going to keep demanding, and you're going to find your way to get that car. And then they're going to come and tow it off for non-payment. Yeah. Yeah. If you're not ready for it, leave it where it is. If you got a car, thank God for that little putter, whatever you got, that's getting you where you want to go. It might burn a little more gas, but just don't go so far. So, I mean, you know. But yeah, you can have what you say, but the question is going to be, from what source does it come? And a lot of folks, I've heard them claiming things, and I see them get it. But they're mean as a rattlesnake. I said, now, God, you blessing that. It was puzzling, very puzzling to me. So he finally taught me. He said, wait a minute, I ain't the only source around here now that they can go to. They could go in a different direction and still do what they want to do. God doesn't break your arm so that you can't write. He just speaks to you, and he brings his truth to you and say, here, this is what you do with it. It says, the adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship of the world. John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of God, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust or desires of it as well. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we're going at it because we're wanting the world and we're lusting after the world, you won't even realize it. That you are working against God. You are an enemy. You are hostile. You are opposed to God and his ways. If it's because of gain of the world, I want to get a new this. I want to get another one of that. I need five more to go with the four that I got. You got four? Ain't enough. I'm not secure till I get five more. Then I'll be happy. Yeah, friend. Yeah, yeah. Know you not that this night your soul might be required of you? Once you attain all of these things, God has an answer to those kinds of things. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is, the Bible says, the enemy of God. Just like Satan is God's enemy. Now, folks generally won't say that I'm God's enemy. They won't say it. Unless you've got an atheist or a Satanist. They don't care about it. They don't like him anyway. Yeah, I hate God, and if you love him, I hate you too. That's Satanist. Those are atheists. But Christian folks won't say that I'm God's enemy. But there are many people that claim Jesus who are God's enemy because they're working against him. And you tell them about it, and you need to be standing about 5 or 6 feet off when you tell them. Yeah. Yeah, because you're in trouble. Tell me I'm not, I love God. Right, yeah, and you're mad now, though. Now you're mad, right? It's not that I'm mad, I'm just shocked that you say, no, you mad, man. Call it what it is. Amen. the adversary of God, just like Satan. Now, here we got Satan is using God's people to fight against God and to fight against God's ways by showing them the allurements of the world. And listen, some of that stuff is very shiny. Some of it's very pretty. Some of it's very enjoyable. But if it's of the world, it's not of God. That's what the Bible says, point blank. So we have to find our way around that. It says in verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That we are prone by nature to envy. The unbelieving person's spirit is prone to evil. Genesis 6, 5 says that every imagination of man's heart is evil continually. The spirit in us is prone to envy. It is. I've seen. I can prove it. I'll throw myself on the altar here. I do some singing. There are better singers than me. But I sing. And I remember years ago, and I had to work through this, someone else would get up and sing, and I sit there and critique everything they did. Now, how they missed that note. I could have sung that better. How they need to get that and work out. They can't hold that note. I sit there and critique. I don't know. After a while, I caught myself doing it. I said, well, wait a minute. Thank God they're there, that they're getting up there. So then I got to go pray about this. I need help because I was envious of this person, and I was in my own mind. I wasn't bothering him. I said, God bless you. Good job. And I was envious and then lied, about my feelings. So I don't know. God, thank God he didn't strike me down for it. But I knew in my heart I had to pray about this. I needed some help with this because I'm sitting here and I'm coming against what this person is trying to do for the Lord, trying to sing for Jesus. And I had to pray and Lord help me. And I had to monitor myself because I wasn't going to confess it to you and I wasn't going to confess it to you. It was going to have to be between me and God. My life is a partially open book. And so some of this stuff we just work on. And so God has really helped me with that and taught me to appreciate anybody that sings. And if they sing from their heart, I've said it before, you have never heard more beautiful singing when it comes from the heart. They might sound like a frog, but they're sounding like a frog for Jesus. And you got to be able to hear the beauty in what's going on there. So anyway, there's another side road. We have the tendency inside of us to envy. It's something that's in there. It's just kind of floating around there under the surface there. And it says, but thank God for verse 6 that God gives more grace. Wherefore he says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Now he gives grace to his church. He gives grace to believers. The only people that can walk above this envy in this particular way are God's people. Because he has given us the power of the Spirit in order to do it. If I did not have the Spirit of God in my life, I could not have made it past that envious episode in my life. But because God's power was in me, not that I'm Mr. Terrific or anything like that, because it was a lot of prayer and a lot of agonizing to fight this thing. It was not easy. That's what you call spiritual warfare. And it was a fight. But God gives grace in order to do it. He gives grace. He gives more grace. But look at what he does to the proud. He resists the proud. Hey, I just said earlier, you could want something and don't get it and claim you're gonna make him give it to you anyway. Not him. He'll resist you. And the greater the pride, the greater the resistance of God. It's not that he don't want to bless you. What he wants is he wants you to get your attitude right. That's all that is. It's not that he don't want you to have the car or the house or the clothes or the job or the food or anything else like that. He knows what your needs are, but he wants you to get the right attitude. And if you come with pride, he's going to resist it. You're just not going to snatch something out of his hand. You can't take anything from him. You can't. He's God. So he resists the proud. But I'm so glad that he gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, where is the devil bothering us? In the spirit of envy that we've been talking about. That's what we're talking about. The spirit of envy is evil, it's of the world, and it's an enemy of God. And so we're working in league with the devil when we allow that kind of spirit to rule in our lives. And so he says, look, don't be prideful. Hey, pride is of the devil. You were perfect in all of your ways until iniquity was found in you. The devil was full of pride. I will exalt my stars above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the north. All these eyes, that's nothing but pride. Listen, in these conversations, when you get a whole lot of eyes, you got a lot of pride going. Yeah, now you don't get yourself in trouble. Just know what's going on. Now, are you hearing me? Don't get yourself in trouble. I know what's wrong with you. You're full of pride. You might wind up in a fist fight right that day, defending yourself. But it's good information to know. When you hear a lot of eyes, there's a lot of pride. So you know how to deal with this individual. This is the wisdom here, that you know how to deal with the individual. That's why the information is given. When you start hearing it, you say, okay, all right, I see what I'm dealing with. So you can deal there. You're going to be praying, but you can deal with them. And maybe still accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, but he'll give you wisdom. And he'll give you grace now to deal in this situation. Are you following that? The Bible says to draw near or draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That means we need to draw near. Listen, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the thirsty, for they shall receive drink. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and ye shall receive. See? Well, the answer is there all the time, but God wants you to come knock. He wants you to ask. He wants you to be hungry for it. You can't feed a person that's not hungry. You can't give a person something to drink that's not thirsty. If you force it in their mouth, they'll go, good. And as soon as you look away, it's out. You just wasted your food. If they're not hungry, you can't feed them. You can't. You need to have this. No, they don't. They're not hungry. They don't see the need for it. So the Bible says, don't cast your pearl among swine. Don't do it. Because you got a hurting coming. It says that swine will turn back. They're going to trample it underfoot and come back and tear you, to rend you. They will attack you with your own words. They will attack you with your own actions. So we have to be careful. If they don't want it, God bless you. I'll pray for you. But somebody wants this. But I'm not going to waste my energy and half kill myself trying to get you to hear something that you don't want to hear. That's a hard thing for me to hear. Because, the Bible says that God wants all men to be saved. And so I kind of got that in me. So I run across someone that's pushing it back. I want to pursue. But God is saying, back down. Back down. Just wait. Let me handle this. Amen. So you draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. That is your thoughts, your feelings. Ye double-minded. Double-minded. That's someone with two minds or two spirits. Heart between this side and heart between that side. And I think I should, and maybe I shouldn't. I know the Bible says that this can happen, but we also got to have common sense. Yeah, the Bible says that we should tithe, but I still need to do this over here. Look, but y'all know my saying, right? Get your butt out of the way and let God put his butt anywhere he wants to. Amen. If it's in his word, there's no but unless he put his butt in there. Amen. Now don't put your butt in there. Let him be the butt putter, Yeah, let him do it. He says to cleanse your heart. Cleanse your hearts. Your hands, ye sinners. Your hands has to do with what you perform and what you do in your actions, in your life, what you do in the world, what you, how you handle yourself and what you do things. And to purify your hearts, that has to do with the, with the, with the God part inside of you, God's influence and God's control in you. And so your heart part is the part that God deals with you. And then with that heart being right, then your hands will become pure as you do pure things, as you do right things with your hands. But first, your heart's got to be dealt with. Your heart has got to be fixed by Him. And it's got to be stayed fixed by Him and on Him on a continual basis. I know where we are, some of us. Some of us are some places and certain other places. I can see that. But listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. I see this deal I got going here. I see this problem I got. But God says I'm this. I'm believing Him, and I'm going to walk in this and turn this over to Him to help me and give me strength to walk out of whatever it is that's not working along with His plan. It sometimes takes a while to do it, but it can be done. It can be done. Be afflicted. That means don't be celebrating. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That talks about having sorrow over your sin. Don't celebrate. Ha, 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 ha. And you got this thing sitting here. It says to afflict yourself. Be afflicted about this sin. Be sorry over this sin and mourn over it. The Bible says to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And I want to note here that we humble ourselves before the Lord because it is the Lord that we sin against. Okay, once again, we humble ourselves. We walk humbly with men, but we humble ourselves before the Lord because it's the Lord that we sin against. I might offend you in some way, but my sin is against the Lord. And so we humble ourselves before the Lord. And if we do that, the Bible says He will lift us up. He will lift you up. He will raise your head again if you humble yourself before Him. Now, we're going to go on here because there's some cautions that we need to take a look at. Verse 11 says to speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we got to be careful how we speak about one another. Just because you're not here to hear it don't mean I should just have full reign and just tell you happen to. I need to be careful how I handle your name in my mouth, to not speak evil one with another, and to be careful to not become a judge of the law. See, again, we're all in different places. God is the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one that can judge. And this law that they're talking about, I believe, is not the law of Moses. I think it's the law of Christ. I think in chapter 1 it talked about the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. And so there's a law of liberty in Christ Jesus. It gives us a whole lot more space than the law of Moses ever gave. And the thing about it is that Christ Jesus is working on every person individually right where they are. And so I can't look at you and say, look at him. He need to do something like that. I know I don't have that problem. What's wrong with him? He need to straighten up and live right. He need to straighten up and walk straight and stop acting like that. You don't know where he is, and you don't know what God is doing in his life. He's got a perfect law of liberty working in his life. Maybe God is allowing that and working with this individual. Y'all need to say amen now, because listen, we need this. Because I'm from a holiness background. But man, we not only shoot the wounded, but we stand there and make sure they're dead before we walk off. And set the bodies on fire. I mean, it was rough. no paramedics can come. We shoot the paramedics if they come. Rough. That, I came from that. You know, that's where I came in. I'm surprised to be saved today. But that's where I came in, see? And God helped me and God blessed me because he saw my heart. And he brought me through this, see. But you don't know where a person is. You don't know what God is doing in a person's life. You look at this brother here and say, man, he really needs some work. How you know God ain't already working on him? You don't know. Keep your hands off of it. Keep your mouth off of him. Pray for him and leave him alone. Be there. Lift him up. Bless him. Speak words of blessing to him. Lift him up. Be there for him. Shake his hand. Hug his neck. I don't know. Encourage him. The Bible says, let all things be done unto edifying. Build up. Build up. Build up. Don't tear down. Build up. I tell you, I got enough trouble in life without you coming and tearing me down too. I got plenty to deal with in life. I got me to deal with, number one. And so, praise the Lord. So be careful. The Bible says that there is only one lawgiver in verse 12 who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that you are judging another? That's what he's saying. Who do you think you are judging another? God is the lawgiver and God is the judge. So you just be what he's called you to be. I told you I got beat up last night going through this. Go to now. That's, they say that when they want to get your attention. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In other words, these are my plans for the next 2 months. In the next 2 months, I'm going to do this. In the next 3 months, I'm going to be there. They say, where you want to be in 5 years? Well, I want to be alive in 5 years. But I don't know after that, see. We say, you're saying I'm going to go do this and get gain. I'm going to go this and do that. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. Say, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You can't prognosticate what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to be here in a year. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make it through today. It says your life that you're banking on something that you have absolutely no control about. The life is as fragile as an egg that will fall off of a table. And you know that once it's cracked, there's no putting it back together again. Life is just that fragile. You could fall down here and hit your head the wrong way and it's over. You could trip going or coming. It's just like that. You were fine. You're running 3 miles every morning, eating all the right stuff and doing all the right things and mess around and have and misstep, and now that you're in a coma. It's just like that. It's just that fragile. And it says it's like a vapor. Your life. Like a vapor, like that smoke that you see going up from a mountainside when the water comes down and that vapor goes and it disappears. Or like a pot that's boiling and you see the vapor coming off and it disappears. They say, your life is just like that. Now, we've lost loved ones, many of us, and we grieved over that loss. But the farther we get away from that, the less the sting. And the farther and farther we get away, the even less of a sting. And then after a while, you'll remember them every now and then. You'll think about them. Oh, wow, with quite a person. But you know, that it vanishes away. Now you might have books or recordings that they may leave. You might put that on and remember and everything. But listen, no one, Jesus is the only one I know that is still just as strong in our minds as ever. But when I die, if y'all are around, unless I outlive you, we'll have our little, you know, grieving time and everything. Oh, he was blessed, blah, 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 blah. A year's time, you'll still remember me some. But in 4 years' time, when you talk about pastors, you say, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I have a pastor. You know? It's like a vapor. It goes, poof. That's this life. See, so now you're making plans, and your life is like, you got no control over this life. For it says that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's another attitude thing. It's subtle, but it's an important attitude change. Where we go, Lord, if it be your will, this is what I'm going to do. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Bragging about what I've accomplished, bragging about what I am, bragging about who I am, bragging about where I'm headed, bragging about how well things are done. He said, that is evil. You're rejoicing, you're boasting. That is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In Luke 12:47, Jesus says, the servant that knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beat with many stripes. So to know the Lord's will and to not do it brings about a different level of judgment than those that don't know it and don't do it. And so we need to be very careful. Thank God for James 4. And thank God for James 4:17, because that's the last verse in James 4. Amen. But I'm so glad you came today. And I hope that this brief message has been a blessing to you. I hope that it will take you a little further. And pray for me, because we're headed for James 5, and I have no idea what to look for in James 5. I kind of thought it was going to be a breeze, but it gets rougher and rougher as we go through here. But I'm so glad for the book of James, and I thank God for you. Father, we are so grateful today for your word and for you and for who you are and for what you've done in our lives and what you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, O God, for the book of James. May we learn, continue to learn, and may we pattern our lives and ourselves behind these truths that you are making us aware of. And help us to remember that in all things that we do, we must do it to your glory. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.